My name is Ping Her. I'm the executive director for the East Isthmus Neighborhood Planning Council. For those... Thank you. For those of you who aren't familiar with planning councils, we work directly with neighborhood associations advocating for the neighborhood and the community. We're fortunate here in Madison to have three strong, vibrant planning councils, the East Isthmus, the North Side Planning Council, and the South Metropolitan Planning Council. So I would encourage you to participate in your neighborhood association as well as your planning councils. Next, I want to thank the candidates for first running for office. I think it's a great honor. A great honor for Madison to have such good quality public servants and to have such good quality candidates in which we need these forums to make our decision because they're so good. So I want to thank them for taking the time out of their busy schedule as well as for running. Next, I want to thank the Barrymore Theater for allowing us to hold the event here. Thank you to Steve. And his staff for graciously allowing us to host the event here. And in case you didn't see, there is beer for sale. And you're welcome to purchase and bring it into your seat, as well as pizza. We have a list of co-sponsors. And I bear with me because I want to thank all of them for their support. And I'll start with, in alphabetical order, Allied Dunn Marsh Neighborhood Association, Boys and Girls Club of Dane County, Centro Hispano, Communities United, Dunn's Marsh Neighborhood Association, East Isthmus Neighborhood Planning Council, Emerson East Neighborhood Association, Freedom Inc., Hmong Committee, Northside Planning Council, South Metropolitan Planning Council, and the Urban League of Greater Madison. So please help me thank them. And also a big thank you to Kim and Paul Hirschner, who is volunteering to provide childcare for us tonight. So, if you missed it, there's a childcare activities in the back in the lobby there. And also, I wanted to thank the Interpreters Cooperative of Madison providing interpreter services tonight. So, if you need that service, feel free to go in the back to the left there and or to my left, your right, to use that also. So all the thank yous are done now. Thank you for divulging me with that. In organizing this forum, I wanted to do a couple things. One was a citywide one where we can really get a chance to know the candidates. And in doing that, we had a call for questions through listservs and through neighborhood associations to really have the community give input and submit questions for us to then shift through all the questions. We received lots, let me tell you. So I thank all my volunteers for taking their time and going through those questions. The other goals we wanted to do was really look for questions that sometimes aren't asked at forums. I know that speaking on behalf of the candidates here, they've been to a lot of forums lately, and sometimes they are asked, you know, sometimes the same questions over and over again. So one of the things we wanted to do also is ask questions that generally aren't typically asked of candidates. And no, we won't get the question of, if you were a tree, what kind of tree would you be? But you never know, right? So just to kind of go over the agenda for today, our moderators, who I'll introduce in a second, will be asking questions of the candidates who have, the questions have been pre-selected from all the submissions before. Time permitting, we will allow for questions at the end of the forum here. And also, I would encourage afterwards to come and talk and meet with the candidates also. The candidates will have 2 minutes to respond to the questions. Jackie, who's in the front row here, is our Vanna White timekeeper, who will give them a 1 minute warning and a 30 second warning. Also, because most of the co-sponsors are all nonprofit, we're all asking if folks want to donate to help offset the cost of hosting this event. In the back of the table, when you came in, there's a donation box, so feel free to put some money in there for donation to the nonprofits to help offset this cost. So with all that, let me introduce our moderators tonight. Cynthia Lynn. cut her teeth in organizing a social justice work here in Madison, where she was lucky to find her way into a resilient, powerful, and loving community of people and organizers. She's a volunteer organizer for Operation Welcome Home, a homeless advocacy group, a board member of Freedom Inc., a group that does community organizing and anti-violence work in low-income communities of color. She's currently employed as a social justice educator at the Multicultural Student Center of University of Madison, where she trains students on social justice and community organization and social movement topics. The other moderator is Judith Sears Poisson, who lived in Madison since 1988. Received both a BA and MA in history from the UW-Madison. She has had the privilege to work and volunteer for many local nonprofits, including human service, arts, and cultural government accountability, human rights, and media. For 10 years, she's hosted a public affair on community radio WORT, and she now is a producer at Wisconsin Public Radio. So with that, I'll turn it over to our moderator. I want to wish everybody good luck.
Thanks for coming, everyone, and thanks to our candidates. I just want to give everyone an idea of how the evening will be structured. We're going to start with questions that were submitted from neighborhood organizations, then we'll transition into questions that the candidates submitted to ask their opponents, and then we'll go back to some questions from the neighborhoods and individuals. The order for this question will be Mayor Cislevich, then former Mayor Soglin, Supervisor Bruskowitz, and Representative Parisi. As an opening statement, please tell us what the most important qualification is for the job for which you're applying.
Well, first of all, I want to thank all the sponsors for putting this together tonight. We have been to many forums. This is by far the best attended of the 10 or 11 forums we've been to. Look, I think that the single most important qualification for a mayor of Madison is a vision for the future. I think that what we've shown is in the last 8 years we've been able to manage the city quite well. AAA bond rating, we've managed it through three of the toughest recession years since the Great Depression. We have not had to cut services. We have not had to lay folks off. We have managed the city, I think, quite well, and we can show that. But I think the qualification that matters most for a mayor of the city of Madison is an idea of where we want to take the city in the future. We face tremendous challenges in the years ahead. When Governor Walker said that he would create 250,000 jobs, who knew that all of them would be at Ian's Pizza?
I love Ian's. It's a great place, but
that's not our idea of what a modern, strong economy is. I think that we've shown in the last 8 years that you can be progressive, but also be pro-economic development. And what we need to show, Governor Walker, is that our progressive policies here in the city of Madison create a strong, high quality of life, that we can create jobs, and we can create prosperity. And that's what I want to do. I want to show that contrast between the regressive policies that we're seeing out of state government today and the progressive policies that we've had here in the city of Madison.
Thank you, Mayor Cislevich. Former Mayor Soglin.
Thank you, and I really appreciate the invitation to be here and to help participate in what makes Madison special, which is a critical discussion of what we want to be as a community. And that does get to the question of what is the role of a leader. But before I get into depth about that, I just want to say that when I made the decision to, well, I didn't make the decision alone, that's the point. But when I talked it over with Sarah, she said to me, "You're happiest when you're mayor." And when we made the opening announcement back in December, I said, I'm a mayor, I'm not a politician. I have stepped away from the job on occasion. I've not attempted to make a career out of politics, but I deeply am committed to this community. And it's my love of this community and it's my concern about where we are going as a community that brings me back into office. I mean, there are times we've had disagreements, but the agenda really is the same. It's about making Madison better for everyone. It's the concept that we not only have a vision, but how we get there is important, how we participate together. A leader's got a lot of responsibilities. One of them is to inspire. Another is to make sure that there's discussion. Another is taking responsibility for decisions. It's articulating what the community values and then emphasizing two points, creating trust and access. It's in relationship with neighborhood organizations. It's in the relationship of how we work together within City Hall. It means having contracts on a timely basis, not going a year with an unratified contract.
I'll have to ask you to stop there, former Mayor Seglin. Thank you. Supervisor Breskowitz.
I think the very most basic and necessary qualification for a leader is to be honest. I mean, we've seen there's been a lot of strife in our community lately, and it's whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, whether you're a progressive or a conservative, the most important thing that cuts through the chase for everything is to be honest. I've served on the county board for the past 11 years, and I've tried to bring to every discussion about every issue that's come before us an honest evaluation. One of the things that I think will be essential in the years to come is that we be very honest about the cost-benefit analysis of the things that government does. I think we need to be honest about the relationship that we have between the local communities, all the municipalities in Dane County. There are 61 of them. To have a really honest, open dialogue where we're not afraid of the truth. Because sometimes the truth hurts, but it's much better if we deal with what's really in front of us and not some shadow of things. That's the thing that I would bring to the kind of leadership that I believe that we need for Dane County, whether it's the budget or contracts or ordinances that we pass. Honesty is something that I think is really needed in these times.
Thank you, Supervisor Breskowitz. Representative Parisi.
Thank you, and good evening, everyone. You know, there are a lot of important qualities. I think the most important to begin with is one's motivation in wanting to serve, and that one's motivation be a desire to serve and to make a difference in other people's lives. You know, this community is a very unique community. This community is built on people who want to give back, who want to make a difference in their neighbors' lives and in the broader community's lives. And in my personal history, you know, when I was 17, I dropped out of high school. And I was able to turn my life around, and I had opportunities available for me when I wanted to change and grow because I grew up here, because this community had invested in the resources that I needed when I chose to be successful. I was able to get my GED. I was able to go to MATC and work my way through school for a number of years. And when I was 28, I was able to transfer to the UW, the school I graduated from when I was 30, with a degree in sociology. All that was possible because this community cares about the people in its community and invests in its community and knows how much sense that makes on both a human and a fiscal level to be selfless and help other people get a step up. So I'm before you today, a graduate of the University of Wisconsin, a member of the Wisconsin State Legislature, and now a candidate for Dane County Executive, because this community comes together around people. But, you know, those resources that were there for me and that are there for others now, they're under threat. They're under threat by what's going on in state government. And I can promise you that if I'm county executive, the Dane County way will not be the Scott Walker way, which is divisive. We'll work together to solve our challenges and to address the challenges before us. We won't do it the his way or the highway. way, like Scott Walker is, we'll do it the Dane County way. Thank you. I look forward to discussing the issues tonight.
Thank you. Jackie is holding up a sign that I should say that I am also with WORT. I'm also a program host on Tuesdays with the Public Affair. Thank you. And WORT is in the house right now doing a live broadcast. So thank you to the listeners for listening in also, as is WYOU Community TV. So as Judith mentioned, the next several questions were submitted in advance by residents and neighborhood associations and vetted by the forum organizers. So the order for this upcoming question will be first former Mayor Soglin, then Mayor Cheslevitz, Representative Parisi, and Supervisor Bruskowitz. There are documented high rates of racial disparities in arrest, conviction, and incarceration rates in Madison area and Dane County. Who is ultimately accountable to address this in terms of local, in terms of level of government, offices, and individuals? And please name one creative solution in terms of a policy or program that you would support to begin addressing this disparity in the adult population as well as one in the juvenile population. Former Mayor Soglin.
In this community, among all the affluence and all the successes we've got, 51% of the households that have kids in the Madison Public School are at or below the level of poverty. 51%. When I was mayor in the 1990s, we stabilized that number at 27%. It stayed that way for 12 years. Then 3 years ago, it rose to 32%, and now it is 51%. In fact, when we started this campaign, it was 49%. Now, there are a number of strategies, and there are a number of things that we've got to do. And in terms of responsibility, everyone is responsible. The city's responsible. The county's responsible. The nonprofits are responsible. The private sector's responsible. The state is responsible, but I'm going to tell you that as mayor, I'm going to make sure that the city is responsible and takes the lead and collaborates with everyone who is interested in addressing this issue. There are six basic issues that need to be addressed. They are housing, quality child care, education and job training, health care, transportation, and in this day and age, financial literacy is absolutely critical. There is no one agency, there's no one government that is responsible for all of these. In fact, very few of these are the responsibility of the city unless the city government, unless the leadership of the city, the mayor, says it is and it will be, and it will be that way. The point that we have to understand is that there is no coordination now. There is strapped, we're strapped for resources. And what we have to do at this juncture is combine all of these services, because it does no good to provide a high school dropout with job training or education if they have no transportation, if they have no housing. There are over 2,000 students in our public school system that do not have permanent housing. All of this contributes to the problem that's fundamentally addressed in the question.
And that's time. Thank you very much, Paul Soglin.
Thank you.
Mayor Cheslevitz.
Sure. Well, first, with regard to the racial disparities issue, Chief Noble Ray is actually a national leader on this issue. It's something that we talk about quite frequently in the mayor's office. He has been trying to address that issue. We've got a long way to go yet, but it is something that is definitely at the top of our priority list. We also have had a policy, which I strongly support here in the city of Madison, not to enforce immigration rules for the federal government. And we will continue to do that. It seems to me that anyone who's living here as a resident of this city, is paying taxes and working, ought to be able to enjoy the same benefits and services as anyone else. With regard to, Paul expanded the question to talk about poverty. In the city for decades have always had one or two or more neighborhoods that were deeply, deeply troubled. And today, we don't. When I came to office, it was Allied Drive. We addressed the problems in Allied with a great deal of effort. We went in there, acquired 20% of the housing on Allied Drive, worked with the neighborhood for over a year to make sure that we got it right when we redeveloped Allied. And today the first phase is done. The quality of life there is much higher. Crime is down over 53%. And we've maintained affordability. We've accomplished something at Allied Drive that hasn't been done much anywhere in America. Dramatically improve the quality of life in a neighborhood and not gentrify it. And what we need to aim to do is to do that in the future and make sure that we don't develop the next deeply troubled neighborhood in Madison. So we developed a program called Neighborhood Indicators, a battery of statistics and other facts that would allow us to find early indicators, early warning signs of stress in a neighborhood, then go in there and with a limited amount of resources in the short run, make sure that we never develop the kinds of deeply seated problems that we found in Allied and in other neighborhoods.
Thank you very much, Mayor Slavitz. Representative Parisi.
Thank you. This is an issue I feel passionately about and which I've been involved in trying to remedy for a number of years. About 4.5% of Dane County's population is African American. About 45% of the jail population is African American. 7% of Wisconsin's population is African American. Approximately 50% of our prison population is African American. That is completely unacceptable. Now, there have been racial disparities. There have been racial disparities in our prison system for a long time, but when they really took off was during the 80s and into the 90s during the war on drugs and the war on crime. The war on drugs focused disproportionately in its enforcement on minority and African-American communities, and so that's when it really took off, despite the fact that African-American drug use and Caucasian drug use is pretty much the same. It was the enforcement patterns. Now, what you're seeing now, whereas that was initially the driver of the prison population and the racial disparities, now the driver is in the what we refer to as the reentry stage, when people are let out on parole or when they have probation and they're trying to reenter into the community. The failure rate is so high because it's tough, much tougher to get a job now if you have a record. It's tougher to get housing. What we have going on is people getting out and going back in, people getting out and going back in. We need more services in the community that focus on the root causes of what gets people into the criminal justice system in the first place, which is often alcohol and drug abuse. We need to make sure that people, when they're looking for a second chance, are able to get a house, are able to get a job. We need to focus on programs. For example, I was the chair of the board of Operation Fresh Start, a very successful program on Winnebago Street that works with young people, many of who have been involved in the criminal justice system, helps them get work, training, GED, et cetera. And we need to focus on the proposals from the Task Force on Racial Disparities. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Representative Parisi. And Supervisor Bruskovitz.
Well, the issue of racial disparity has been with us for a long time. I served on the Madison Equal Opportunities Commission, when it was still called that, in 1995 and 96. I think it's really important that we start looking at racial issues in a much more broad sense. I saw a program many years ago. It was being conducted in Washington, D.C. and in New Orleans, where people had a chance to really talk to each other. And that experience of really talking to each other made a huge difference in how people looked at each other. I think that's something that the county really can take a look at, and the city. In terms of coming up with solutions, 2 years ago when that young man was killed in Meadowood, he was a young black guy, and it was a gang-related murder. It was a very sad thing. Coincidentally, I had a meeting right after I met with the police department and the Neighborhood Intervention Program, the NIP program, which is a county program, where the police and the officers, the sheriff's department, they were saying, we need some creative solutions. We can't keep losing our young people. And right after that, I went to talk with a fellow who owns a recycling company, and he he as part of his operations, would hire people that were coming out of prison that needed a job. And I thought to myself, how can we reach young people before they even ever see the inside of a jail? We put together a program. We started with four kids from different rival gangs. They were 15, 16 years old. They worked that summer. They had life coaching with their families from Second Life Foundation. Those kids found out who they were, that they had talents and abilities that they didn't even realize they had before. We are going to have 32 young people come through this program this summer. That's how we make a difference. That's where it starts, and that's how we make a difference into the future.
Thank you. Thank you, Kennedy.
The order for this question will be Supervisor Bruskowitz, Representative Parisi, Mayor Chislevich, and former Mayor Soglin. Please specify three distinct actions you will make to turn the tide of reduced human services or community services budgets. Include in your description concrete actions that support a strong human services system and foundation that responds to the needs of our most vulnerable populations and prevents costs, problems, and waiting lines from becoming worse now and for our future. Supervisor Bruskowitz.
I just served the last 6 years on the Health and Human Needs Committee of the County Board, where I had a chance to really learn about and act on the human services that are delivered through our system. There have been some suggestions made by the United Way more recently that we are in a time where we have to look at the over 200 purchase of service agencies. Purchase of service means that the county doesn't provide services to people directly. We hire agencies that we purchase those services from them to deliver it to the people that are in need of those services. We have over 200 agencies. That means over 200 executive directors, over 200 personnel departments, over 200 payroll departments. There are efficiencies to be had. And United Way has come out with this report, and I think there's very valuable ways of doing this. I believe that there are ways that we can streamline human services in terms of the reporting that our agencies have to do. There's county and then state and federal reporting. They want the same information. There is a way, and people have to fill these reports out time and again. There is a way to save time and effort. And this was one of the primary recommendations from a committee that I chaired for the developmental disabilities community to see what would be the best way to save money and deliver services. Thirdly, in the human services delivery system, we have programs that are redundant, some are more expensive than others, and many of them have the same outcomes. So you have to ask yourself, why are we paying more for some services yet we're getting the same outcomes? So those are three examples of the things that would improve the human services system.
Thank you, Supervisor Bruskowitz. Representative Parisi.
Thank you. I can touch on three things. The first thing I would touch on is process. And one of the issues that we're facing directly now, in addition to the literal budget cuts, is the manner in which these cuts are coming down upon us. For example, what's happening out at the Income Maintenance Center, where we have the governor attempting to wipe out a program that works. It works because we're doing it the way we do things in Dane County. You're a single mom, or you're a mom who's fleeing a domestic violence situation with your kids. You can go down there, and you can have access to the services you need, so it's a temporary shelter, food share, so you can feed your kids that night. You know, what Governor Walker's proposing on doing is eliminating that, along with the 80 county jobs, and replicating it and replacing it with a program that he's run in Milwaukee that currently has 900 people on the waiting list and with a waiting period of about 400 days. So what's that mom with a couple of hungry kids supposed to do in a situation like that? You know, wait over a year for services? So part of what we have to do is we have to be involved in the state process. We have to be involved and continue to oppose and expose what's being proposed in this budget. I think I have some unique qualifications to do that, having both experience as a county administrator and a member of the state legislature. You know, we have to focus on, in coming back to specific programming, we have to focus on making sure that our employees have the access to the best evidence-based programming available. We know what works and what doesn't work, and to make sure that they have access to the latest in evidence-based programming and then continue to evaluate it. A third piece that I'd like to talk about when I have a little time, but I'll just touch upon now, is that it's time that we look at the impact, the broad long-term impact of sensitive crimes. Domestic violence and sexual assault, especially on children, and the long-term effects they have over a child's lifetime. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Parisi. Mayor Cieslowicz.
Thank you. Well, in the last 8 years, we've had a 53% increase in Office of Community Services and CDBG investments in our community at a time when inflation has run only 18%. So I think we've shown a commitment to those services. And we've also created new programs like Transit for Jobs, a low-income bus fare program, the Emerging Neighborhoods Fund, and the Neighborhood Indicators Program that I talked a little bit about in the last answer. As we face some real challenges in the future, I think we need to do a couple of things. First of all, we need to fight the Walker budget as hard as we possibly can. I recently made a $302 contribution to the Goodman Atwood Community Center. The reason I did it was because I wanted to make a point. And the point was $302 represents the cut that Governor Walker would make to the earned income tax credit for a woman with two children earning $15,000 a year. You can imagine what $302 means to that woman. And so I wanted to make a point and make a positive contribution in contrast to what Governor Walker's done. So he's attacking those programs. And he's also dramatically slashing state aid programs to the city of Madison, which will make us make it harder for us to make up for some of the draconian measures in his budget. So we need to fight that budget as hard as we can. And then when we get to the city budget for 2012, we need to have the most inclusive city budget we have ever had. We need to have a process that's absolutely iterative, that people understand what the numbers are in real time. We're going out actually into the community, even yet this month, to start public meetings on that budget, and we are going to get through this together.
Thank you, Mayor Cieslowicz. Former Mayor Soglin.
One of the things that I worked on the past 3 years was a report and study that Mary Berryman Agard and I conducted, where we looked at the delivery of social services on Madison South Side. We picked that particular area because of the tremendous integration of existing services between the private sector and government. What we learned in that was pretty much adaptable to the rest of Dane County. Please contact me, email me, and I will get back to you with an electronic version of the report. The report really goes into detail about some of the deficiencies that we have here in Madison. But before I go into some of those details, there's a couple other things that I want to get in this 2 minutes. The mayor just said that the city increased funding by 53% for community services. The community services budget is now at the level that I left it at 14 years ago. Okay? That's all that's been accomplished. We created that community services budget because while we weren't mandated to by the government, by the state, or by the federal government, we felt that there was a role for the city to be involved in funding everything from the Rape Crisis Center to transportation services. And while we mention transportation services, Ken Golden, are you in the room? Ken, congratulations on the Transit to Work program, because that was your baby. We're going to refund Harambe. Those of you familiar with Harambe know that the city of Madison and Dane County have the lowest
infant mortality rate for African Americans in the United States. And isn't it interesting that coincidental with the dissolution of Harambe and the defunding it over the last several years, that infant mortality rate is going back up?
Thank you, former Mayor Seidlin.
This question is just for the mayoral candidates, and it will be answered first by former Mayor Soglin and then by Mayor Cheslevitz. A 2008 survey commissioned by then-alder Brenda Kunkel and implemented by Affirmative Action staff showed that the City of Madison had a disappointing record both in terms of recruiting diverse staff and in making appointments of people of color and other disadvantaged groups for city committees. What actions would you take to address this issue in your first year in office? Former Mayor Soglin.
I'm the old guy, you know, does things the old-fashioned way. Well, we're going to go back to doing it that way. Very first year that I was mayor, the very first year, 49% of the appointments to city committees were women. The appointments to city committees were up and beyond the population of people of color in our community. It was 12.5%. We're going to go back and do it with what is successful. It is reaching out to people, getting recommendations, and sitting there and being very conscious of the fact that when we make these appointments, not only are they going to be geographically balanced throughout our community, they're going to be racially, ethnically balanced, they're going to be balanced on gender, they are going to be inclusive. We're going to do the same thing in terms of employment. When I left office, There were six women heading city agencies. There were a total between women and people of color, 8. We had an affirmative action program that worked. It was an affirmative action program that was not based on quotas. You saw what happened in the change in the Madison Police Department, the Madison Fire Department, not just in terms of race, but in terms of gender, in terms of sexual orientation. All sorts of changes took place. Sometimes there was resistance, but it moved throughout city government. I heard recently that we're going to start a procurement program to involve MBEs. We had a procurement program for involving minority business enterprises. I don't know what happened to it. Somehow, I mean, is it... The point is this. You have to get up every single morning and say, I am committed to working on these things. I'm going to create an environment where everyone is welcome to apply, where we're going to make sure people know what the skill sets are. We're going to provide the education and the training, the access, and we're going to build an atmosphere and culture of trust where people want to work for the city.
Thank you, former Mayor Soglin. Mayor Cheslevitz.
Sure. Actually, the makeup of city committees, if you look at it, the percentage of people of color on those city committees matches what it is overall in the city of Madison, so we are hitting that goal. As to city employment, we're hitting it in some ways and not in others. The representation of African Americans in city employment actually exceeds the percentage in the overall population. For Hispanics, we don't quite hit the goal. But what we do see is a good deal of disparity between departments. So, for example, police and fire do extraordinarily well, other departments not so well. And so one of the things we've done in the last few years when we created the Department of Civil Rights is that we created a recruiter position, whose job it is to go out there and make sure that we get the most diverse pools of individuals for every job in city government that we possibly can. Paul's right, you don't have quotas, per se, but you don't have a fighting chance to improve in this regard unless you have pools of candidates that are as diverse as possible. So the role of the recruiter position, which is a brand new position just created in the last 5 years, is to make sure that especially in those jobs in which the pools of candidates tend not to be very diverse, to go out there, recruit, and try to make those pools as diverse as possible, and we'll continue to work on that program and work for improvement.
Thank you, Mayor Cheslevitz.
This question is just for the candidates for county executive, and the order will be Representative Parisi and Supervisor Bruskowitz. How would you ensure the county's commitment to promoting the development of minority-owned businesses, and how would you promote awarding them substantial contracts? Representative Parisi.
Thank you. You know, the county has made a lot of headway in this way. And I think what's important is to always be working, you know, for example, we do this in the airport. It's always to be doing outreach in the community. I think we can also partner with certain trades where there might not be as much minority representation as there could be. For example, the building trades. You know, that's a sector where the average age of folks working in construction right now is getting up there, and there's going to be a lot of turnover over the next few years. It's also a sector where there are a lot of good-paying jobs, and it's a sector where minorities are underrepresented. And I think that is just one example of a sector we can reach out to and work with. I think everyone can benefit because they're going to need people. They're going to need people to train and step up and take the place of all the folks who are retiring. And I think within county government as well, you know, we're doing pretty good in county government. We have representation which roughly matches, at least for African Americans, the general population. And part of the way that happens is through the alternative selection recruiting process, where the county works directly with say, a group like the Urban League to find qualified candidates for a job. The one place where county government could do better now that we have representation is making sure that representation flows throughout all the levels of employment within county government. And I think making sure that through promoting within and from looking out in the community and making sure that we have a goal of having that representation distributed throughout different job classifications is the next step we can take.
Thank you, Representative Parisi. Supervisor Breskowitz.
Well, there's an issue for minority-owned businesses, but more than that, Dane County needs to be open for business, not to take that from another place, but the truth of the matter is, I see as a member of the zoning committee, businesses being turned down in Dane County. Those are good jobs, jobs for everyone, and especially minority-owned businesses. We are failing dismally in our relationship with the county and the business community. That has got to change, or we are going to be in trouble for all businesses. On a daily basis, as I go out and campaign, I am talking to people who would like to build a building that is 50,000 square feet that would employ 35 people. The guy has the business in Elgin, Illinois. He doesn't dare come to Dane County and try and build a business like that because it's going to be more expensive, more difficult, and he's going to be treated badly in the process. I talked to a fellow today in the town in the village of Marshall. Same thing. He's ready to expand his business, but he's not going to expand in Dane County. There's not going to be a Dane County business that's going to be able to work for him to expand that business. He's going to Dodge County or Iowa County. Most people here in Madison don't understand how difficult this is for people to open a business in Dane County. Things are getting better in the city of Madison. I'll give that to the city. But when we're looking at people that would like to be able to especially in the towns or in the urban areas where we could have clean, good paying jobs that would be available for all businesses to apply for, then we're going to be able to get somewhere with our economy. We're not there right now. And if you're in the city of Madison, you may not realize just how bad it is.
Thank you, Supervisor Breskowitz.
This is a question for all candidates, and the order for answering will be Mayor Cheslevitz, former Mayor Soglin, Supervisor Breskowitz, and Representative Parisi. What are your economic development priorities, and how will they address the needs for all of your constituents in either Madison or Dane County, paying particular attention to those with lower education and skill levels and those currently underrepresented in the workforce for living wage jobs? Mayor Cheslevitz.
Right. Well, this is, I think, the centerpiece of what we need to do over the course of the next 4 years, to show that progressive policies also produce a very healthy economy. We know that already. Madison has a 4.4% unemployment rate, still too high for Madison for sure, but much better than just about any place else in the country. And if all of these regressive policies that Governor Walker is trying to propose were actually going to be successful, it seems to me that that shouldn't be the case. If he believes that investments in a high quality of life and high public services, if he believes that you need to destroy collective bargaining in order to create prosperity, if that's true, then none of that, then we shouldn't have a 4.4% unemployment rate in the city of Madison. We proved that progressive policies work. And over the course of the next 4 years, we need to make that case even stronger. Just today, we reopened our contracts with AFSCME and other unions, and I'm pleased to have the support of those unions. And we negotiated, on their own initiative, $5.3 million in savings for next year to help us get through that budget. That's cooperation between a union and management. That's what actually works. And it seems to me that these attacks on the public sector, whether it's attacks on the university or attacks on public education or attacks on high-quality public services, these are attacks on economic development. Because if you don't have a strong public education system, if you don't have a strong higher education system, if you don't have strong public services and you don't have the quality of life that goes with it, then the very foundation of everything else that can happen crumbles. And we're going to make that point over the next 4 years.
Thank you, Mayor Chislevitz. Former Mayor Soglin.
Thank you. I care about this city very deeply, and that's why I get a little distressed myself when we don't get an accurate picture of our community and what is going on here. Madison has got the 14th lowest unemployment in the United States. We're about half the national average. When I left office, we were, depend on what month it was, in April, we were the third lowest in the country. In January, we were the lowest in the country. We were running between 1.7 and 2% when the national average was about 5%. Something's changed. And I'm sorry, when I hear that there's no distressed neighborhoods in Madison anymore, I don't look at it that way. Not when 51% of the kids in our public school system are in households who are in poverty. Not when we have this disparate impact of racial differences in terms of arrests. Not when either of any of us can walk through the halls of the big employers in Madison and see white face, white face, white face, white face, and very rarely a black or a brown or a yellow or a red face. That's the nature of Madison's economy these days. It doesn't have to be that way. It means going back to those basic points I mentioned earlier in terms of job training and development. But there's a role for government here, and those of you who've read some of the things I've written over the years know. The critical part is the government's role in making investment in human capacity and in infrastructure. That is what leads to private investment, which creates jobs. It's investment in public education. It's investment in the nonprofits that work to bring households and families together to enhance them. It is the... I got a little sign up here.
Thank you, former Mayor Soglin. Supervisor Breskowitz.
Okay. The counties that are surrounding Dane County have all created economic development corporations. They are actively pursuing an economic policy that will bring good-paying jobs to their counties. Dane County is the only county, and we're right in the middle, we're becoming the hole in the economic development donut. Because there has been this relationship with government, with business, with the university that has not really been developed fully. The county doesn't really have an economic development plan. I'm a businesswoman. I own apartment buildings. I've been in business for 30 years. We have a good business. We have a great reputation. I understand what an income and expense statement is. I know what a balance sheet is. I know what business does. I've been there for 30 years. We need a new day when it comes to business working with government. Just like I talked about before, that program where we brought four young kids in that were in trouble, they were clearly identified as gang members, we brought them in and they through this their work and through this life coaching, they had a whole new view of themselves. It's going to take the business community, government, the municipalities throughout the county, and actually also working with the counties surrounding us, because we are a region. We have to look at ourselves in a different way. Government jobs are good. We've been able to, we have a good system in place. But in the future and the near future, it's the business community. That's where the action is. That's where we're going to get more jobs developed. It's going to take private investment to make things happen.
Thank you, Supervisor Breskowitz. Representative Parisi.
Thank you. Well, over the last few years, we've certainly seen that, you know, Dane County is no longer insulated from statewide, nationwide, and worldwide economic downturns. So just as the economy is evolving and changing, I think county government needs to evolve also. I've proposed creating an Office of Economic Development within the County Executive's Office, and having this office work on a regional basis with other economic development offices and municipalities to work with the businesses that we have to assess their needs, not only what they need today, but what are they going to need 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road to thrive and grow? What kind of education are they going to need their workforce to have? And help coordinate between the businesses that are here that want to locate here with MAT or Madison College and the university, and people who are working now and looking at entering the workforce, to make sure that that skill set lines up. But beyond just growing, we have to ask ourselves how we want to grow. And I see tremendous potential in the clean energy job sector. I think it's a thank you. I think it's a sector that fits very well with our quality of life in Dane County. I think it's a direction that I think most folks in Dane County would like to go. And there's a lot of room to grow in this area, and these are good paying jobs. These are manufacturing jobs, construction jobs, electricians, and they're clean, good for the environment jobs. You know, I was surprised to learn that Wisconsin is already has the fifth highest number of people working in the solar business. You know, and we can grow on that. We have Cardinal Glass and we have W Solar in Dane County, and those are some of the businesses we can work with to go say, how can we help you be successful? How about your supply chain? Can we bring in other businesses that are on one side or another of your supply chain? We need to promote what we have. We need to tell people what's great about Dane County and why they want to expand their businesses here and why some of these new green businesses would want to locate here. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Parisi.
I just want to mention for those that might be listening live on WARCH that this is the People's Candidates Forum, and it's being broadcast live from the Barrymore Theater. We'll now move to the portion of the program where each candidate had the opportunity to submit a question to ask his or her opponent. This question is for Representative Parisi from Supervisor Breskowitz. At nearly every appearance, you say that a major part of your agenda as county executive would be to create jobs and that you would create a new department to advance economic development. How many employees would you use to staff this effort, and what role would they play with the economic development efforts already underway, such as the new Department of Commerce? How would you pay them with the current budgetary shortfalls, and how would you measure their success?
Thank you. That's a great question. I would start out with one person who's the director of the office. And there are positions that I'm aware of that I believe could be moved around within county government so that we wouldn't need an initial outlay of funds, that we could do some reorganizing and have this person. And once the person's in, first of all, the hiring process will have to be thorough and find the best person for this job. And my management philosophy is to listen first, to set clear goals, to hire the best person or the people for the job, and then to create an environment in which they can thrive. So I know where I want to go. We know what we need to do. Some of it we were just talking about, particularly in the clean energy jobs sector. And I want to find the best person, involve the business community, involve the clean energy job community in that piece of it, and then let them go do their job. Thank you.
Thank you.
And now the question for Supervisor Bruskowitz from Representative Parisi. You've supported Governor Scott Walker's candidacy and his agenda to take away workers' rights, both on the county board and in published comments. Why do you support Governor Walker's proposal to take away collective bargaining rights from public employees?
Well, I did support Governor Walker because I felt he was the only candidate that was going to face the economic and fiscal problems that the state faces. He talked and identified the fact that there is no more one-time money coming in, that there's no stopgaps like we've experienced before. He wasn't going to kick the can into the future for other people to have to deal with. He was willing to, he was willing to face the issues head on. Now, I did not know that he was going to use collective bargaining as the major piece of this, but I do believe, if you'll allow me, I do believe that he has started a discussion that is long overdue. Thank you. And as I said before, this is a very painful period in our history here in Dane County because we've never had to face this before. Every union contract, every year, year after year, has been generous, good. 75% of what the unions have asked for, they've gotten, at least on the county level. So, you know, as I mentioned before, there are many people that are feeling the pain of the economic downturn. They've been feeling it for the last 3 or 4 years. It has caught up with us. It has caught up with the state. We can't not deal with it anymore. It's painful, but this is the kind of honesty that I think is necessary, that I would ask the moderator to please
give her a chance to finish the question. Thank you.
It's important for us to look at our economic situation honestly. And not just, people have told me this is not complicated, we should just move on with everything is fine, there's no problem. I'm telling you, we need to look at this and have an honest conversation. Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor Bruskowitz.
We like to encourage everyone to stay respectful and give the candidates the respect that they deserve. Thank you.